We'll CQ the February 14, 2014 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From Chiberia, this is the rain report. I'm Gary Bernstein, N9VU. CQ is consolidating Popular Communications, CQ VHF, and World Radio Online into one monthly digital publication. It's being dubbed CQ Plus. CQ, in its print format, is not going away. However, CQ will become a large digital component of CQ Plus. CQ's editor continues to be Rich Moseson, W2VU. In this conclusion of the conversation Rich had with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, Rich briefly discussed distribution challenges CQ Magazine has faced over the past 6 months. And Rich elaborates more on how the world of scanning, AMDXing to be specific, is changing.
We've had over the last couple of months some significant problems with distribution of our print issues. We are certainly aware of it. We apologize to all of our readers and are hoping that a lot of these changes that we're making can help get us back on schedule on a fairly prompt basis. We ran into a situation back in August that delayed things. And unfortunately, over the intervening months, instead of each succeeding month getting better, each succeeding month compounded the problem and made it worse to the point where most people got their December issues in mid-January. We realize that this is not acceptable, and a large part of what we're doing with consolidating the magazines is hopefully going to be able to get us back on track with this, but it's not going to happen instantly. It took us several months to get to this situation. It's going to take us a few more months to get out of it. We really, really appreciate everyone's patience with us and hope that you'll continue to be patient as we work our way back to a normal schedule on distribution of our print edition. The digital edition has not really been significantly impacted by this. I'm looking forward to the introduction of CQ Plus. I'm really excited about our first couple of issues. It's a whole new concept, really. It may have been driven by economic necessity to a certain extent and by changes in the marketplace. I don't think this really has been done anywhere in the publishing industry before. It's a hybrid magazine. The first 116 pages of the digital edition are going to continue to be identical to the print edition. And where the print edition stops, the digital edition is going to keep going for another 50 pages. It's a pioneering step in publishing. I'm not aware of anybody else who's doing anything like this. I'm really excited about the potential. We also have the opportunity with this to do longer, more technical pieces. The flexibility that the digital format gives us is a lot greater. In addition to the material that we're porting over from the other magazines, we've regularly get in really good technical articles that unfortunately just go on too long for the limited amount of space that's available in the pages of CQ, where you have 15 or 20 diagrams of something. You just can't devote that kind of space in a print magazine to have a 12 or 15 page article on a construction project. Well, we don't really have that kind of space limitation in the digital arena. And we have options even there beyond that to take some of these diagrams and put them not even within directly in the digital edition, but as links from the pages so that they can sit on a website someplace. So if you're not going to be building this project, but just want to read about it, you don't have to wade through all the diagrams. But if you do want to build it, or if you want to dig deeper into it, you just click on the link and it'll take you to whatever diagrams you want to see. So the opportunities that we have and the potential for doing differently and different things better is tremendous. And we're really looking forward to learning what we can do and how we can do it. It's a learning experience for all of us.
Is there any thought of expanding into the audio end of things with a podcast?
Well, let's take one step at a time. There's been thought of it, yes. And particularly in terms of our monthly highlights, I've thought about doing that in audio form as well as in written form for our website. The big thing is time. We have a limited number of people and with limited number of hours in the day. And right now, all of our energy is focused on getting this new product off the ground. That's where it has to be for now. Once we've gotten this into a routine and have everything kind of rolling along again as it's supposed to be, then we can think about doing things like that. But it's on a back burner at the moment.
You're listening to a conversation CQ editor Rich Moseson, W2VU, had with Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP, about the digitization of CQ publications, i.e. PopCom, CQ VHF, and World Radio Online. We'll wrap up this interview in just a moment. This is the Rain Report, heard Thursdays in Chicago on the NS9RC North Shore Radio Club's 442.725 MHz repeater, 114.8 PL access. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
In the first installment of this conversation, Rich talked a bit about the changing world of scanning, i.e. the elimination of well-known shortwave radio broadcasts and the encryption of public safety agencies. And closer to home, Rich had some strong feelings about the current and future status of AM/FM radio DXing.
AM broadcast DXing is changing in a couple of ways. IBOC, in-band on channel, which is being marketed as high-definition AM, basically either a broader signal or subcarriers with additional programming on it, that blocks out your ability to tune in a lot of the faraway stations that we all enjoyed listening to. I'm not sure that's going away anytime soon. The other part of it is the homogenization of AM broadcasting content-wise. You have great concentration of ownership and of programming. You can tune stations all over the country and you'll find the same programming going on. One of the things that we're covering in the first edition of CQ Plus, the February issue, is a look at the future of AM broadcasting. I attended a conference on it a few months ago in New York City and wrote an article on it. And the FCC has recently started a rulemaking on trying to, quote, fix AM broadcasting. Those are two of our features in the first edition of CQ Plus, is a report on that conference and on the FCC proceeding. And one of the big things that I came away from this conference with was that a lot of very high-powered AM broadcast people are realizing that the key to success in AM radio is local programming and localization. And that is the direction that they're all talking about heading. We've seen it starting to happen. WABC in New York, the big powerhouse on 77, which has been syndicated talk shows ever since it dropped its top 40 music format about 25 years ago, still going to be talk, but it's going to be local. It's going to be locally originated, locally focused. And they realize that that is where their niche in the marketplace is, serving the local community. So I think that we're going to start seeing a greater diversity in programming so that when we are able to tune in those faraway broadcast stations, we're at least going to be able to hear some programming that relates to the communities that they're in, which to me was always one of the most fascinating parts of AMDXing, hearing about what's going on in different cities and different parts of the world and getting the commercials and weather forecasts and traffic reports and talking about the important issues that are going on in those cities. And that's been lost. And I think that's coming back. On the technical side with IBOC, that may be tougher. I've always been of the opinion that technical problems have technical solutions. And I think that if the manufacturers of the specialized listening gear, not just what we used to call a transistor radio, get enough push from enough listeners, then they're going to be making the radios more selective, using features that we have on our ham rigs like IF shift and passband tuning and things like that to be able to minimize the disruption caused by the IBOC signals. They should be able to be filtered out because it's a predictable pattern of digital noise. A lot of the noise fighting software and circuitry that we use in our ham rigs could be put to use in AM broadcast receivers as well. Won't make it go away, but it can make it better.
The 1996 Telecommunications Act that the FCC mandated really did a lot of damage to the AM and FM radio industry by allowing large corporations to buy up practically entire markets of radio stations and implement syndicated talk radio. Much of it seems to be right-wing. And while we're talking about syndication, do you think that the fairness doctrine is ever going to come back?
The fairness doctrine, for those who don't remember it, mandated that, particularly in terms of election campaigns, that if a radio station broadcast material that was deemed to be favorable to a particular candidate in an election, that equal coverage must be provided to the opposing candidate in the name of fairness. Newspapers, of course, never had this restriction and were never required to do anything like this, and can't be because of the First Amendment. For some reason, the FCC decided that the First Amendment doesn't really apply to radio and television stations and imposed the fairness doctrine on them. The courts first upheld it, but then finally decided that the FCC's rationalization for this was that radio and TV is a limited resource, that you can only have so many stations in a municipality or in an area, and that therefore it's essential to require that they present all different viewpoints, and that there's theoretically no limit on the number of newspapers that you have, and therefore you can theoretically have a newspaper for every viewpoint. The fact of the matter today is that there are more radio and TV stations in most markets than there are newspapers. There is a greater opportunity for diversity of views on broadcast stations than in newspapers. So I don't think that the fairness doctrine will come back, and I don't think it should come back. I don't think that it was good law to begin with. I am a very strong proponent of the First Amendment, and I believe that radio and TV stations have First Amendment protection just as newspapers do, and the content of their programming should not be dictated by the federal government. And that applies to stations whose programming I disagree with, as well as those stations whose programming I agree with. Diversity of voices and views is what it's all about, but it shouldn't be mandated by the federal government. That's what the First Amendment is there to protect us from.
But it's being mandated instead by corporate America.
The Constitution doesn't place limits on what corporations can do. It places limits on what the government can do. The people have the power to place limits on what corporations can do by purchasing or not purchasing their products, listening or not listening to their radio stations. If you'd really strongly disagree with the way a station is managed and you feel that they don't represent your point of view as well as others, then you have options. You can listen to a different station. You can contact the station management and tell them that you're going to listen to another station unless they change the way they run their station. And then the station management has the ability to either take into account your views, and if there are enough people with those views that it's going to show up in their bottom line, then you better believe they're going to listen, or to say, I'm sorry, go ahead and listen to somebody else. We have a lot of people who like the way we do things.
Another opportunity would be when the station goes up for license renewal, you can always contact the FCC at that point and lodge a complaint about XYZ.
The Constitution is, and the Bill of Rights is not there to protect us from each other as much as it's there to protect us from overreaching by the government.
And that concludes this conversation between CQ editor Rich Moses in W2VU and Rain's Hap Holly KC9RP. Coming up next week, we'll roll out the Rain red carpet for Tucson, Arizona ham radio writer Chuck Penson, who will talk about the rise and fall of Heath, a hugely popular supplier of ham radio kits in the 60s and 70s. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2014 Rain. All rights reserved. And now for everyone connected with these Rain Reports, I'm Gary Bernstein, N9VU, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.